Pack Lynn and Orson's Newsball Pod, where we go behind the scenes of our pupils' cool stories that they do outside of school. If you want to hear them.
Welcome back to Behind the Newsboard. Today, we might need some extra security in the studio because we have two very exciting football prospects sitting right here.
On one side, we've got Bethan, a serial trophy winner with Charlton and Millwall, who's represented England playing on the world stage in Sweden. And on the other, we have Sol, a mainstay in Tottenham Hotspur Academy, who has recently been rubbing shoulders with the men's first team stars.
We're talking about what it's like to go from a school lesson to a Premier League training ground. Welcome to the show, Bethan and Sol.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Sol, so let's start with you. You're at the Spurs Academy, which is one of the best in the world. We heard a rumour the other day that you trained with the men's first team squad. What was that first moment like, walking out onto the pitch with the pros, and did you have a pinch me moment?
Before we went out, when we were waiting in the change rooms, I was like, there were a bit of nerves because obviously going straight up to the first team, people you see on TV, sort of like it's a wow moment. But I think once I walked onto the pitch, I realised like there was nothing for me to be nervous about. Like, I'm just going playing football, doing what I love. Pinchable moment. I mean, I had to mark Van de Ven from set pieces, so that was like a bit cool. But also the rondo that we did before, like, I got like Destiny Udogie on my right, like Jed Spence on my left, so it was just like quite awful. Not awful, what's the word?
Awe-inspiring,
mate, that's it.
We've got you here. There's nothing to be... Seems like you're more nervous here than you were on the pitch.
Nah. But yeah, it was great.
Good, man.
Mm-hmm. Bethan, you've also had a massive journey winning London Cups with Charlton and Millwall. You've played in the Gothia Cup in Sweden, which is basically the Youth World Cup. Does playing in a different country change the way you think about the game?
Massively. I mean, a lot of the clubs that enter that tournament have been together from under sevens through with the same team, and they come there with such a competitive attitude. It's like, it's an incredible stadium. Like, the atmosphere out there is insane. You obviously have to prepare on a different level as well, because a lot of the football that I played is through the season, so you're just playing matches regularly. But that kind of competition football is such a different style. You have to be on it every minute. You have to be thinking about what you're eating, how you're recovering all the way through. But yeah, it's such a cool tournament to play in.
Nice. So, you've been playing in age groups above your own. Is the biggest jump the physical strength of the older players, or maybe how fast they move the ball?
I think it's both physical and technical, to be honest. Like, obviously, playing up years means you're going to be against bigger players, faster players, players that have been developing for longer than you have. But I think the main thing that you have to have when you're going up is a strong mindset, because you got to be up for it. You need to not be scared. You got to just keep playing your football, because obviously if you're playing up, it means you're good enough. Like, my parents always say, like, if you're old enough, you're good enough, or if you're good enough, you're old enough.
That's the way.
So it's just like, yeah, you just got to give it your all when you go up there and make an impression that lasts.
Both of you have taken on big responsibilities. Sol, you've captained the youth sides at Spurs. What's your captaincy style? Are you the one giving a motivational speech like mini Harry Kane, or do you just lead by smashing tackles?
Nah, I'm a talker on the pitch. I like to be vocal and loud, you know, like instructing, because it makes my job easier if I'm able to instruct the others. Obviously, before the game in the huddle, I'll be the main person talking, trying to rile up the boys, and then once we get into the game, everyone has their part to play. So, yeah.
Bethan, you're obviously doing it all as well. Yeah. Training with Millwall twice a week.
Yeah.
JPL on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Gym sessions. And then training with the boys here at school. How do you juggle?
It's a lot. There's not massive amount of recovery time in there. And it's late sessions as well, so making sure I get sleep once I'm back home. But trying to balance it with schoolwork, it's all about like planning ahead, making sure you're organised, having stuff ready, kit, whether that's, yeah, like kit or having your book sorted for the next day, trying to eat correctly and just prepare yourself, stretch after sessions, just give your body the best chance to recover at camp. Yeah.
I think both of you, sorry, Wilson, before, just while I'm thinking, both of you obviously know how much dedication you need. What obviously, do you have programs that are given to you that you have to then follow after schools, and the sleep patterns that you might talk about, or are you doing it all on your own, trying to do it at the moment?
I think it's on your own. I think they obviously suggest the sort of things you need to do, like Bethan said about like eating correctly. Like they advise you on like the meals to have on match days, when you're recovering, when you're training. But I think it's sort of like you still got your bit to do. So they might not like force you to do that, but you know yourself, or if I don't eat well, if I don't get enough sleep, then the next day I probably won't train as optimally as I could. So I think, yeah, it's just like you putting in that effort as well.
Hopefully your coaches don't listen to this, because Bethan's got sausage and chips and I saw Sol with cake the other day. So sorry, awesome.
Sol, when you're at Spurs training ground, the facility is world class. When you come back to school and play on the Wizards grass pitch in the rain, how do you keep your standards high?
I mean, it's probably not as serious playing football at Wizards as than it is at Spurs, but like any pitch is playable, and you see like all the greats, they come from backgrounds where they're like playing on sandy pitches. But yeah, it's just playing football, so you make the most out of it.
So who is the one first team player at Spurs who really looked after you and or gave you a bit of advice?
It's not like as well a known name, but Kevin Danso, he's Austrian centre back. He was like on my team during the training session, so I was sort of like talking to him in terms of like, oh, if the striker's like pulling a bit wider, then I'll jump out and he'll cover around and vice versa. So yeah, he was like a nice person to talk to.
Bethan, representing England against Wales, is that the proudest moment of your career so far, or are there any other good moments for you?
Yeah, I think that's probably my proudest moment. I mean, obviously I've won a few trophies at Charlton and Millwall, but being able to play on that international stage, going down to Wales, playing away, it was such a cool atmosphere. You walk out, you sing your national anthem, it gives you emotions that you don't get in a normal game. Like, obviously every game is important, but that kind of playing at that level it's inspiring. It's like, it's why you play, to get those opportunities. There were some mixed feelings in my house because my dad is Welsh, so he was a bit, torn loyalties. But
and obviously your younger brother is at the school, wants to play for Wales in the future.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd like to play for Wales as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Shocking. But no, it was a great opportunity. Awesome. It was a really cool experience.
Football is obviously such a tough and difficult world to break into. What's the one thing your coaches say to you the most? Is it that technique or engine? That's for both of you. So.
I think it's hard work. I think you see a lot of players, like nowadays, obviously they're all technically good, so you've got to have that extra bit that separates you from the rest. And that's why I think with hard work you can really get anywhere. Because like, say for example, like my weak foot passing, it's like not as good as others. But if I just constantly repeat that, like constantly put in the work to make it better, then eventually it's going to improve. And then if you've got the ability to improve, you just keep going, and it gives you much better chance of, you know, standing out.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to attitude. Like, obviously, everyone starts with varying abilities, but it's those that put in the work outside of sessions and focus on their weaknesses as much as their strengths that really push on. And they're always talking about attitude and that professionalism.
I think also, obviously, a lot of people will be working hard. So I think people then get annoyed a little bit when something hasn't worked, but everyone's probably working just as hard. So it's all the small little extra bits. Is there anything in particular you're doing extra than others, do you think?
Well, like say I'm a centre back, so I need to like practice my heading probably more so than like a midfielder or forward would. So I think it's just having those little tricks to your game that, you know, you can use to get above the rest and show a bit more.
Yeah, I think there's specific areas for each position really that people focus on, but any extra training that you do is going to help set you apart at the end of the day, because everyone's at clubs, they're all training with their clubs, but it's what you can do outside of that.
So obviously lots of people aspire to go to like Spurs or Millwall, but if there was a young student listening, what advice would you give them?
That's a good question. Well, like I said before, like just work hard, like put in the effort. Also, like don't be disappointed if things go wrong, because like things are going to go wrong. Things go wrong for me. I've made plenty of mistakes where, you know, the opposition may have scored and then I've got a bit down. But I think you just got to have that mentality to keep going, keep pushing, keep practicing, and then hopefully, if all goes well, then you know you get you get a bit higher up in the rankings.
I think no journey is linear either. You're always going to have setbacks. I was out for a year and a bit with an injury, and you know, that's a really tough time, but it gives you time to work on other things. Like, I did a load of gym work and rehab that if I hadn't been injured, I wouldn't have built my strength up as much as I had in that time. And I think also, like, everyone starts somewhere. You don't have to start at the big clubs. Like, I was starting in my village team and I built my way up. And likewise, some people do start at the bigger clubs and then they might get released and they look at other clubs, but it's never a straight line to your end result.
Two great answers. Well done. Where would you both like to be in 5 years? Are we going to see you obviously at the new White Hart Lane or the Den or maybe even a World Cup squad? Maybe? Is that too early?
No, I think it's always good to set targets like that. Like, you've got a high target for you to continue, like, proper grafting to get there. But yeah, I hope to be in first team football realistically by that time, whether that's here in England or abroad or just anywhere I can get first team football and sort of try and make a name for myself. As you said, like, even one of my goals right now is to try and get into the England national team for my age group, and that's like, I've been in academy for like 2.5 years and that's not happened yet, so that's still something for me to continue working to. And yeah, World Cup squad, I wouldn't mind being in one of them. So
yeah, likewise. Probably more likely with the Welsh squad, but trying to push into that international level.
I hope it's not because it's easier to get into a Welsh squad.
No, I've always felt a bit more of an alliance to Wales. I think my dad, both my parents are really sporty and passionate about it, but I think it's my dad that's probably pushed that side a bit more, and then I feel a bit of a stronger relation to Wales for it. But yeah, breaking into that international level, I want to carry on studying, so finding that balance between looking at a university and continuing to play at a high level.
Right, this is going to be the quick fire round. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, who's your favourite football player?
Gabriel.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Both.
Best FIFA player in school?
Best FIFA player?
Yeah, in school.
Oh, me, I'm pretty good at FIFA, to be honest.
I'm awful. I lose to my brother every time I play.
Who has the flashiest boots at the Spurs Academy?
Oh. I'm going to say Blake. You don't know who that is. But
Blake who?
Blake Philogene.
Oh, we'll keep an eye.
Is that a first team? Or
I'm going to say Maya Bailey, our centre mid.
We'll check him out.
The most annoying thing a teammate can do during a match?
Like, when I'm open and they don't pass to me, that annoys me a lot.
Oh, stop running. When people don't press or don't track their players, it annoys me so much.
Mm-hmm. Early morning training or late night gym?
Early morning training all day long. All day long.
I hate mornings, but the feeling of doing an early session just makes me feel so productive, so I'd still rather get that done.
Mm-hmm. Winning a cup final 1-0 or winning a thriller 5-4?
Winning a cup final 1-0.
Cup final 1-0.
Trophy all day long.
Yeah.
Post-match treat, McDonald's or a protein shake?
Protein shake. I don't like McDonald's.
I'm going to have to say McDonald's in that one.
What's your favourite celebration?
You've got to show us.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm a sentiment. I'm rarely celebrating.
Yeah, same here. I don't know, if it's like a wet pitch, maybe just like a knee slide and
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, got to get up with the times, both of you. Beth and Sol, thank you very much for coming in. It's rare for us to have so much talent in one room, and it's been brilliant hearing what goes on behind the scenes at these big clubs.
We'll be watching TV in a few years and telling everyone they were on our podcast. Good luck for the rest of the season. Thanks for listening to Behind the News Board. Join us next time as we share another story from our amazing school community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. At Lemon Orson's Newsboard Pod, where we go behind the scenes of our pupils' cool stories that they do outside of school. If you want to hear them.